Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
So we're here with Crowder, and you're hitting me here at lunchtime, so I hope you don't mind that we do this over a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Hey, those are my favorite right there. I just saw these. They've got a new little thing going on, and I think they're called like atomic balls or something. And it's like the Cheeto, but it's not like the elbow part. It's the hard part, and it's not like a puff. It's like that part of the Cheeto that's like the best part of the Cheeto. It's the in between the elbow and the ends, and they've made it into a ball. It's a ball now, and it's like, wow, is it a mind blow? It's like, think of it like the Cocoa Puff cereal. But it's a Frito. That's what they've done. They put it in a bag.
It's that big crunch. That's really the big piece there. That's really the best part there.
Yeah. The puff is a different thing. And, you know, the elbow can get a little hard.
Let's analyze Cheetos real quick. Like the puffs. I mean, what the heck are the Cheeto puffs? They melt in your mouth and they just kind of get all sticky. And like, why are those even a thing?
I don't know. And like, what were you thinking? Like, you come up with a Cheeto, which we don't know what it is anyway. You know, like, What was that material that you've made that thing out of? It's a little, you know, it's a little obtuse in shape. And then you're like, you know what we need, though? It's like more uniform with more air. More uniform with more air, and then we could be onto something. And I think the way that they dissolve, it has to be something with the cotton candy people. I think it's the same folks that got together, and whatever that is, it just sort of disappears. When you look at it or touch it, that's what's in the puff, I think. But I don't know what the thing is made out of anyway, to begin with.
And who knows what this flaming hot stuff is? Is it flammable or is it, I don't know.
Yeah. And apparently it's bad for you. I saw some, remember there was, this is probably a year ago or so. Don't quote me on this, but there was a rapper that like had to go to the hospital for eating too much of it. I think it had turned some things red. And he's like, something's wrong with me. And they're like, no, nothing's wrong with you. You've just eaten too much of the fiery Cheeto. That's all it is. It's a little red dye. But apparently it lasts. It's hard to dissolve that in the body, apparently.
Oh, geez. Well, I've had my first bag probably a couple of months ago. And, man, it's a game changer for sure. And I bought this bag yesterday. My wife's like, what are you doing with that? Like, do you want to hurt yourself? Or
yeah.
She's not into
spicy. I got to talk to Crowder.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to talk to Crowder. And it's like, you know, the carrot, the horse deal. You know, it's like, I need him to get some stuff done with me on this podcast. And I need to motivate him, the fiery Cheeto. That's what I need in front of him through the camera. Yeah.
I'm all in for cheap gimmicks, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, well, my pairing that usually happens with the, and this is not a lie, this is the truth. There's a dill pickle, just like a hamburger slice pickle, like not like a, you know, special mama's pickle. This is the hamburger dill slice, but it's made by this company called Best Made.
Best Made,
which that seems like that's a brave brand right there. You know, we make pickles and they're the best made. It's like, okay, who's going to argue with that? As long as you get that copyright soon enough. But yeah, man, a bowl of the Best Made hamburger dill slices paired with the fiery Cheeto and a Dr. Pepper. It's really just a tough snack to beat. It's a hard snack to beat.
You're talking like complete Texas here, because where I'm sitting right now is maybe 10 miles away from that Best Made pickle plant.
Unbelievable. Now I'm in Atlanta and I have to order them through the Amazon.com. I have to get on the internet machine and order them and hope that they don't arrive broken. Yeah. You know, glass and pickle juice everywhere. It's a tough thing to clean up. So yeah, now I got to go on Amazon. It used to be that's what was at the grocery store. Now, you know, got too far away from the motherland.
Well, it's crazy. You're talking about the Best Made pickles. I wasn't even going to bring this up, but since that factory is here, you know, basically the town that I live in, every March they have a pickle parade around St. Patrick's Day, everything all green. And like, it's a huge thing around here.
That sounds wonderful.
The pickle pack factory. And I know this is a Christian podcast, but they actually put this stuff in a beer with one of the local breweries here. It's about how big of a deal this Best Made pickle stuff is.
Now, wait a second. They put what in the beer?
The pickle juice.
The pickle. So it's a pickle beer.
Yes.
I haven't. First of all, y'all have parades for my favorite pickle? I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm just doing the wrong thing altogether. I think you could add that pickle juice. I think you could add it to pretty much anything. It's going to be an improvement. So I can see how that would be, you know, how somebody's sitting around and thinks, hey, I'll tell you what would be good, though. If we just add a little pickle juice in this beer here, we could be doing things. Yeah, I can see how that happened pretty easily, actually.
Since this is a Christian podcast, we do need to pray for forgiveness because we did talk about beer, but...
I'll let you go.
But no, we
can join hands.
Everybody circle up, you know, do it all old school Sunday.
Well, both are. So pickles, I've never pickled anything, so I don't know, but is that some type of fermentation anyway? I mean, I don't know if you can get inebriated off of the pickle juice, although I've felt very near ecstatic when I've had the right pickles at the right time, but seems like they're kind of in the same family already. You know, we're going to preserve something and keep it around for a while. I don't know. There's something there as well. Like, you know, the ketchup bottles, you can catch them on a bad day and, you know, they could be, they can go sour on you. Yeah. So I don't know how far off the beer and the pickle is.
You know, that's going to have to be a quick Google here later to see what that is. We're going to have to find that out by the time this releases. Have a quick education
with links to pickling websites.
Yes, like we got to have a slideshow, the whole thing, charts, graphs.
Right. Well, you know, when somebody gets too inebriated or like, you know, they're a long time heavy drinker, you know, you call them pickled. You know what I'm saying? See, I'm just, it feels like there's a lot togetherness there, and maybe I need to reconsider my love for the pickle. Wouldn't make the Baptist too happy, maybe.
I'm not sure how we got here.
I'm a Baptist.
Well, I want to ask you a question here that I've heard the answer to this before, but I want to see if it's still the same. And there's a story attached to this. I want to know what your favorite song to sing is.
Oh, I have answered a lot of times. This is the truth. I tend to do that on occasion. It's to tell the truth. And Happy Birthday is my favorite song to sing because there's cake nearby. You know that there's cake and somebody's being celebrated and there's probably presents and it's a good time. Usually around that song, there's festivity and joy. And so that's usually my favorite song to kind of go to.
That's exactly what I heard.
It's not my karaoke song, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying it's like, it's always a good time.
The first time I heard that was when you were here at Harvest at AT&T Stadium. What was that, 2018? Something okay. Like that.
Yeah,
I've lost track of time.
That's probably about right. Yeah, that's probably about right. I'm bad with numbers. Math's hard. Public education. Courtesy of Texas. Oh, that went south quick. Okay, go ahead. That was a pun.
I was working the Air One booth, and you were doing a Q&A uh-huh. session right outside.
Yeah. Totally remember this. There. Yeah.
And
totally remember this.
I was walking to the other booth for something or other. I don't completely remember what, but I heard you answer that, and it was literally my wife's birthday that day. And she was in the booth right next door. So I'm like, do I run and try and say, hey, there's a birthday over here? Or something right. Like that. But I was like too far away and it kind of floated and it was just done. But it was just...
The moment was gone.
Completely gone. But it was kind of ironic. And she probably would have killed me because she's not the one to be the center of attention like that. But it was funny that it happened because it was literally her birthday and she was 15 feet away from that.
You know what? Bizarrely, it's in a Q&A when I get asked that, and there's usually, you know, a great number of people there, and the odds are that it may or may not be somebody. It's usually somebody's birthday, or they're going to lie about it. And my requirement is, I just told you why this is a great song. Is there cake? Do you have cake? If you have cake, we will sing. If you don't have cake, we're not going to sing. So they usually don't get what they want. They usually don't have cake in their pocket or something like, oh. Didn't know you were going to bring the song up. It's my birthday. I just don't have my cake with me.
Birthdays, it's funny now that after we've had this whole COVID thing, like we're rethinking birthdays and candles and all that. There's always been long that joke of like, we're all going to gather around and celebrate and eat this cake that somebody's just spit on.
Totally.
That's always been a joke. And then now we have COVID and it's like, wait, let's think about this a little bit more. Is this really a joke or is this not?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's usually the kids, you know, and they, we know they're pretty clean when it comes to like just germs. They're pretty well mannered when it comes to like washing their hands and so forth. No, it's a bad idea. But you know, we got through it. I mean, you know, until now, it was going great till it wasn't.
So I don't know where we go from here. Like, if we're going to get back to that, like, we just forget it all happened, or what the whole candle situation on birthday cakes is going to be.
I don't either. You know, some of my favorite cakes have not had candles on them. I can tell you that. So I don't know if we need the candles, or it's a safety hazard as well. You know, fires, they can be bad.
I'm getting old enough where that is starting to be a concern. Like, I'm not quite there yet.
Then it gets embarrassing. Yeah, then it's like, you know, that's a whole lot of fire right there. And maybe we just duck out at a certain age. Like, you know, it's not good for adults to blow on each other's food. Yeah. The kids, it's fine. They need that. It'll make them more resilient. But maybe the adults at some point, it's like, you know what? You're not in your teens anymore. Somewhere in the teens, it goes away. When you start talking to your parents like you know more, then it's like, okay, you're done with candles on the cake. Yeah. Seems like you're a grown adult now.
When you gotta start sizing the cake by how many candles you got to have on there, then it's probably time to start cutting the candles.
Yeah, or when they go to just numbers, you know, it's like, yeah. Once the candles turn to just straight up numbers, then it's time to no more candles, no more fire on the cake.
Well, I got to admit that we had that issue, what was it, about a week ago now, because it was my wife's birthday, and we put the numbers on there, so.
I think we're done with the candle scent. That's the answer to that. Then you just go get a nice cake, you know, just get a real nice looking cake, and then you're good. It's like, we know what it is. Write it nice. Yeah.
We're only 15 minutes in here, and how many faux pas have we already caused? I mean,
yeah. Now you're talking about your wife's age. And,
we haven't got there yet. We just said she put numbers on there. So
that's true. She could be in her late teens.
Well, we have a 10-year-old, so I dearly hope not.
Yes.
Look, 29. That's always the go-to answer. 29.
29 forever.
Yes.
That's great.
We did that for my mom. We threw her a 21st anniversary of her 29th birthday or something like that. We did something like that. It just stops at 29 and you're safe.
That's great. I like that.
So we mentioned it a little bit ago. You're actually from Texas, just a little bit south from me here in Waco, in the land of the heat and humidity. Yeah. And oh my gosh, dude, it's been 100 degrees here this week.
Really has it? I haven't checked outdoors in Atlanta, but it gets pretty warm here too. It's like, it's that wet heat, you know, that got a lot of humidity, and that's a killer. We were just like out in outside of Vegas this past week in the desert, and man, it was thermometer. It says it's over 100 and something. And I'm like, this feels wonderful. I mean, it's a big difference. People say that all the time, but it's a massive difference.
Yeah. And I grew up in a very dry climate. When it got to 90, like, it wasn't fun. It was still hot, but it was okay. Like, you go into the shade and it drops 10 degrees instantly.
That's it. Yeah. Here, there's some relief from it. No. But I've been training for this, you know, because I grew up, like you said, right there. I actually grew up in Texarkana, Texas, and then moved to Waco to go to school at Baylor. And so that's what took me to, but, you know, Texarkana's kind of the same thing. It's got a little more pine trees to it. But so I'm fine in Atlanta with the same humidity thing. I've been training my whole life for it, so I'm okay. But coming from a dry place to this, boy, you got to be brave.
Yeah, I still can't get over the fact that it's 80 degrees in the morning. 83 degrees, like, first thing in the morning. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. It doesn't go away. No, it doesn't go away overnight. It just gets worse. Buddy.
So I've heard it. You said you went to Baylor. I've heard the football team is supposedly pretty good. I've heard it. They play. I've heard it come around up here. They play in the Toilet Bowl. Is that what? Oh, no, that's McLean Stadium, the bowl. My bad.
Oh, man. And now, man, things are looking great over there. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's different. It's a different town. Everything changed after I moved. Me and my wife moved, and it's all of a sudden Waco's like amazing. It's like all it needed was for us to get out, and then, you know, Chip and Joe have pretty much remodeled every house, and they got the little destination spot where you can go get all the things that make your house look better. And then there's a new stadium popping up by the river, and then they're winning national basketball champions. It's like all they needed was the Crowders to just step away for a second, and things are going to look up.
You left your touch.
So it kind of hurts. It kind of hurts.
Well, up here it's TCU territory, and the TCU and Baylor are rivals. So You know, of course, there's going to be some jabbing back and forth with that.
Yeah.
Just because of the shape of the stadium, like I said, they call it the toilet bowl. They call it the McLean Stadium or the bowl or something like that. I've driven past it like twice or something like that. So I'm just repeating what I hear up here in TCU territory.
I understand. Coveting's a sin. I get it. You wish you had that view by the river. I get it.
So talk a little bit about starting out. That's where DCB started out, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Around Waco. So talk a little bit about starting DCB and then coming into Crowder here, what we're seeing with Crowder.
Absolutely. Now. Well, yeah. Well, like I said, I went to Baylor, and while I was a student, there was a church start that was mostly a bunch of college kids, and the pastor that started the church asked me to help with the music, not like lead the music, but just like help organize it, like pick players, rehearse stuff, find songs, that kind of thing. And slowly I found myself in positions where my fellow college students, you know, are not the most dependable or reliable. So the guy that's supposed to be singing just doesn't show. And so somebody got to cover it. And pastor's like, you do it. I'm like, oh, that's an awful idea, bro. You ain't never heard this happen. But it was just more necessity, even just like, hey, yeah, I'd love to help out. That's kind of what got me into it. And then, hey, nobody's here. Who's going to sing? I guess it's going to be you. And then it was writing songs. It was tough to find songs that fit in a collegiate setting. And so, well, why don't we try to write some? Okay. Well, so it always felt like out of utility or the necessity of what was needed. And I mean, I love that. I love that that's how we get to be part of the church. You know, when we read in scripture, hands and feet, and we need every part of the body. That's what you find your role, how to serve a particular community. And it's really cool to look backwards and go, who knew that this was actually going to be something I'd be talking about this many birthday candles later. You know, it's like, this has been going on a while. That's kind of funny. I never thought of it as a opportunity for a career or like, this could be legitimate work. It's just, I don't think there are musicians that come along and they're like, man, I want to play music for a living. And that's a hard thing to do. That's like winning the lottery. That's like, I want to play NBA bat ball, you know? Well, you better be good then. It takes a lot of hard work. And it's just felt like the whole time I'm just trying to serve. And I think it's pretty cool when God's able to do stuff with things you didn't think or expect. You know, it's like, I'm probably the worst choice for this. And it seems like those are a lot of the characters in the Bible that are my favorite are like, this is a bad idea. God, I wouldn't use that dude. He seems like a trouble. But then, you know, some of the most beautiful things come out of broken vessels. And I think that's what he does. I'm a good example of it.
Well, and from that, I mean, I'm just sitting here admiring your studio behind you and all the music videos that we've seen. I mean, from that collegiate, probably ramen noodles being served in the back, ramen noodles and water, that's just this amazing studio. And coming into this Milk and Honey album, that's just phenomenal. We used, I always put myself on the spot for song names.
Yeah, like my favorite song you do is... Oh, I promise I love it. Yeah. You know, that happens all the time. Luckily, you're talking to somebody who doesn't know the titles of their songs either. I'm always like, you know, it's the one that goes like, I can't think how it goes right now, but you know the one that we play all the time. So I'm in the same boat.
I could have told you that if I wasn't like putting myself on the spot for it. I could have told you that about 20 minutes ago what the song was.
Yeah.
No, we
That's
used
how it is.
Higher Power is the name of it. Our youth walk-in song last night, for you know, as all the kids pour in, we just cranked it up and we're jamming to it. And
that was pretty hype. I love that one. That one's got some energy to it.
Yeah. So we go from the DCB side to now this, and just seeing like this amazing studio, this blindingly white studio you've got going through all these videos, and just so clean, and just this album with Maverick City Music. Man, it's been awesome to see that journey from DCB to where you are. And one of the things I really love about your music is that it's kind of like a bag of trail mix. Like you have a little bit of rock in here, you have a little bit of gospel, you have a little bit of hymns. You know, it's just a lot of fun all in one album. So one of the things I've talked about a little bit is the middle of the album. I mean, you have your big radio hits kind of towards the top and composers, but man, just the meat in the middle of this, of a lot of these albums and Milk and Honey as well. I mean, with Maverick City Music and Chandler Moore and all that. Talk a little bit about that. Like, those are some really powerful songs right in the middle of the album, the 5, 6, 7, 8 tracks. Talk a little bit about working with them.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan of the Mad Music thing and what's up over there. And Dante both. Craziest part of the whole album was that God Really Loves This tune, which is kind of sitting in that middle. It's a big song. It almost didn't happen. Me and him were trying to get together, but, you know, with all the COVID stuff, it was just a weird season. And it wasn't working out. And then it's like the week the album's due, he hollers at me on a Sunday. It's like due Friday or something. And he's like, hey, bro, what are you up to today? Can I come over? I'm like, yeah. But I'm like, there's no way, you know, no matter what happens when we get in the room and start writing, there's just no way. So about an hour and a half, he leaves and this song's kind of sitting in front of us. And I'm like, this is too good. We got to figure out how to pull it off. Can you come back like tomorrow and do vocals? It was just crazy. He's in the middle of a Mav City music camp, which means they've got all these writers in town. I mean, if you could have put the pedal down and have him more busy, I don't know how you'd pull it off. Like he's like swamped for like 3 days in a row. And so somehow he comes over in the morning and we get a vocal out of him and he's singing the scratch piano stuff. We don't even know what the song's gonna sound like yet. It's just like, I think it's about this tempo and I think it's about in this key and we'll figure it out, you know, as we go. Like whatever you do, we'll go around that. But then sure enough, by Thursday, we are mixing late into the night and just barely get it into mastering in the morning, and it made the record. And I feel like the record has a good trajectory to it because that middle section has such a weight to it in my mind. It feels like, you know, when I wanted to do choral church sounding anthemic, everybody in a room singing, it feels like you really understand what that attempt was about. When you get to that middle section, you have songs like that Sweet Jesus, where it's all that, you know, choir coming in, doing the stabs and that discant stuff. And it's just feels like, okay, my intentions were to make a record that modeled what we were all feeling and we want to be back together. And I think choral music, harmony, and singing together really is a beautiful picture of what we were all feeling with the distance among us during this season of time. And I think you feel it best in that middle section for sure.
Just bringing it home with some of the old hymns. Like I grew up in a kind of a hymn-based church as well. You're talking about being Baptist. That's, you know, hymn central. And just love bringing it back there, I love that so much. And when they did the hymn medley, Maverick City Music did that hymn medley. Man, that wrecked me terribly. Like that was like 20 minutes and it felt like 5 at most.
Yeah.
You know, to hear that pull in to hear. Man, that middle section is just so powerful. I mean, you go from, you know, like what we're saying with, you know, higher power and just everything moving, great God Almighty. You know, it's all moving, then you just bring it back down there, man. Just so, so powerful.
Yeah, man, I couldn't be happier with how it all turned out. Like you're geeking out too, man. I'm such a fan of the Mav City stuff, and I'm like, I can't believe we're doing this right now. This is the best. So it's great to have them in this season of life because they've been such a part of my season of life right now that we're able to document us being together is like super cool to me.
And just some of the music videos that have come through that. Like I said, I'm just going to fawn all over your studio just because it's so gorgeous, dude.
Dude, it's ridiculous. My wife is actually a designer, or like interior architectural designer. So anything that looks cool is her fault. And I just get to live in it, man. I love it. It's been a blast. This is kind of where my whole scene has been through the COVID. It got done just right before lockdown happened. And so I've just been down here making music. It's been a blast. Man, it's been a blast.
If you're listening to this and have not seen any of the music videos that have come from this, go watch these, man. It's even the keyboards are white. Just the whole aesthetic. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just so gorgeous. But
it looks like I'm in space with Elon Musk is what I like to say. It's like me and Elon, we're going to Mars, young come or not, you know? We're on our way.
It really does look spaceshipy.
It is. I live in the future. I don't know if you knew that. I'm in the future all the time.
Oh, man. Well, just want to say thanks for hanging out with us here for a bit. I'm going to go get some Best Made pickles and some Dr. Pepper to round this out here.
I'm going to go look on the calendar and see when the pickle parade is. That's what I'm going to do.
It's in March. So
there you go. There you go. That's my anniversary month. That's be like our anniversary trip to the pickle parade.
come back home to Texas. My wife
would be like, we're doing what? Like, we're going to the pickle parade, baby.
That's true romance.
She
right
hates
there.
Pickles. Oh, all right, brother. Yeah, well, good. Thank you for including me, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.